Happy Easter, happy Easter. Okay, let's start with some Easter English. How about that? I'm going to teach you the Easter greeting. The Easter greeting. Easter no aisatsu wo oshiete agemashou. Please repeat after me. He is risen.
He is risen.
Okay, good. That's one person. That's A, says he is risen. And the B has to give the reply or response. He is risen indeed. He is risen indeed. Okay, so please repeat after me. He is risen indeed. Very good. It's all about intonation. Okay. For example, if somebody says, nice to meet you, you don't say, nice to meet you. You have to say, nice to meet you too. Right? So if somebody says, he is risen, you have to say, he is risen indeed. Okay? Intonation. Okay, I'll be A, you are B. Here we go. He is risen!
He is risen indeed.
Amen, amen. Nice gesture, Miwa. I've got a very short sermon today. Why? I've got three reasons. I've got a cough, and it will not allow me to give a long sermon. Second reason is I like short sermons, so Jesus does too. And the third reason is that short sermons are easier to remember, and I really want you to remember today's sermon, so I'll keep it short and sweet. Okay. Happy Easter. Jesus is risen. Oh, very nice. On Christmas, we say Jesus was born. But on Easter, we say Jesus is risen. He is alive. And just like on Christmas, you know, Jesus has a birthday. Man also has a birthday. And on Christmas, we say, happy birthday, Jesus. And on our birthday, we say, happy birthday, Chris. And just like Jesus on Easter rose from the dead, resurrected into a new life, someday, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ will also rise again to a new life. Someday, we who believe in Jesus Christ, that He rose from the dead, and that His grave is empty, we also will be raised up to life, just like Him. Some will be risen to eternal life, some will be risen to eternal death. Jesus Himself said, in John chapter 11, verse 25 through 26, our words for today. And I want us, just as our custom is every Sunday, today will be just as special. Let's all read it together. I've got it up there for you. You can also read along in your Bibles. But we'll start with Jesus said. Let's read together. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now I love how Jesus asks this question at the end. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Believe what? That whoever believes in him will also experience resurrection and life. That Jesus, after being on the cross on Friday, laid in the tomb Friday afternoon, for 3 days he lay dead. And on the third day, the Spirit of God rose him up out of the grave, moved the tombstone out of the way, and he walked out of that tomb. That, do you believe that? Do you believe this? Do you believe that anyone who would put their trust in this resurrected Jesus will also someday walk out of their tomb into a new life? Do you believe this? What is it? There was a little boy. His name was Philip. Philip had a condition known as Down's syndrome. Many of you are probably familiar with this disease. And he belonged, just like many boys who have a Christian family, he belonged to the church. And in the church, they would have a special Sunday school, children's school for the little boys. And Philip, just like all the little children, joined this children's Sunday school. But because of his condition, the children kind of, you know, do what children do. They kept him outside, kind of rejected him. And so he was part of the Sunday school, but not 100% part of the Sunday school. Well, Easter came, and the teacher had an idea for the children to do. He gave them little capsules, toy capsules that you find, you know, with the vending machines. And he got a bunch of empty ones, and he gave them to the children one by one. And he said, okay, today's Easter, it means new life. I want you to go outside, find something that means new life. Put it inside the capsule. Close the capsule. And then we'll come in into our room, and then we'll put them on the table, and we'll open them one by one. So the children running around all over the place, you know. You can hear them right now even just running around. Maybe they've got toy capsules. But they're running all over the place, and, you know, they're putting, you know, leaves because it's life. And they're putting flowers. You know, they're putting bugs in there. I don't know. You know. So they bring them back to the table, line them up, and one by one they open them. Ooh, a leaf. Ooh, a dead butterfly. It's new life. They come to another one. They open it up. It's empty. There's nothing inside. And one of the children said, what? Somebody didn't do what they're supposed to do. Bad. That's so bad. Who did this? And Philip, the Down syndrome child, he says, it was me. I did it. And the child said, you were wrong. You didn't do it right. You're supposed to put something in there for Easter. And Philip said, no, I did the right thing. In Easter, Jesus' tomb was empty. And so I didn't put anything in there because that's what Easter means. It's empty. The grave is empty. Right? Oh. So, yeah. After that, Philip got some respect. He became 100% part of the children's school, but shortly after he contracted a virus and he got very ill and he passed away. And at his funeral, when the children came to pay their respect, they didn't put flowers into his casket, as you normally would do. Instead, they put their little toy capsules in there. Because the children also know, they believe this, that Jesus' tomb is empty, and that someday our tomb, Philip's tomb, everybody's tomb, will be empty because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And if you believe in him, you will live, even though you die. Do you believe this? Jesus says, I am the resurrection. Do you believe this? I'm not the reincarnation. Some religions take Jesus' words, and Jesus in John chapter 3, he says, you have to be reborn. You have to be born again. And so other people say, oh yeah, Jesus, he wasn't talking about resurrection. He was talking about reincarnation. And that's not what Jesus was talking about. Reincarnation is the belief that when you pass away, your body gets absorbed into the universe. And then one day again, you are reborn. Maybe as a human again, or maybe as something greater, or something lesser, like an animal or a plant. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection, not the reincarnation. And the scripture makes that very clear, that we will not be reborn again and again and again. It is appointed for a man to die once and give account of his life. Hebrews chapter 9 says. And then give his account at the judgment day. One time at the resurrection. Paul says, all flesh is not the same. Human beings have one kind of flesh. Animals have another. Birds another. And fish another. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Do you believe this? That we who believe that Jesus died, like him, we will also die. And just as he rose from the dead, a spiritual body, an eternal body, an immortal body, we also someday will receive our spiritual body, immortal body, eternal body. Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. And the question is, do you? Do you believe this? Because some of us will say, well, you know, what about all the other people who don't believe this? But that's not Jesus' question. Jesus was not asking, do other people believe this? He's asking, do you believe this? Let God worry about what other people believe. Our job, our responsibility is to worry about what we believe, because the question is, do you believe this? When Jesus first asked this question, you know who he asked? He asked his best friends. When Jesus asked, do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. He wasn't asking strangers. He was asking those who had been with him for years and years. His closest friends. They spent time with him. They ate with him. They traveled with him. They listened to his teachings. They knew who he was. And yet he still asks them, do you believe this? There are many people who come to church on Sundays, or who have joined choir, or maybe been coming to church for a while. Maybe you know somebody who is a Christian. Many kinds of people who have been friends or who have had contact with the Bible or with Jesus followers. And the same question goes to us. Do you believe this? So if Jesus has to ask this question to his closest friends, how much more does he have to ask us? Now, why would he ask his closest friends? I mean, didn't he know that they already believed this? Wasn't it obvious that they believed who he was? And if he was God, wouldn't he already know? Why would he ask this question? Well, like any good teacher, he didn't ask, you know, for his own benefit. A good teacher will ask the question for the benefit of the student or the person who will give the answer. It's one thing to say it in your mind and believe it in your heart, but it's important to say it with your mouth. That's why Jesus was asking this question. You have to say it with your mouth that you believe. In Romans it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you are saved. You have to say it. You have to answer it. Yes, I believe. You have to say it. So you got to tell someone. So let's practice. If you believe, Jesus asks you this question, do you believe this? If you believe, say it out loud. Yes, I believe. Yeah, now you have to tell someone. You have to tell someone. If you believe this, yeah, tell them, yes, I believe. Go ahead. Don't be shy. That's if you believe. That's if you believe. That the question is asking if you believe. Because it's not important to say it in your mind and in your head. Yes, I believe. You have to say it with your heart. Excuse me, say it with your mouth. Easter is our chance to say it with our mouth. I believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe in resurrection. I believe in eternal life. Don't say it to me. Say it to the people next to you. Jesus asked this question to his closest friends, but you know who else was around him to hear it? He asked his closest friends, but the other people were around him at that same time. And those people that heard him say this were also people who were openly against Jesus. They've heard his teachings. They've seen what he does. And they still were not convinced. They had an excuse. They had explanations. They had arguments. No matter what Jesus said, no matter what he did, they would not believe. And he asked the same question to them as well. And there are those of us here today who still, no matter what we hear, no matter what we study, no matter what we sing, it's still difficult for us to say yes. I believe. There's a great man named William Wilberforce, real intellectual from England. In Ohio, they named a university after him, Wilberforce University. He had a good friend, very close friend, back at that time named William Pitt. William Pitt was the Prime Minister of England. And William Wilberforce, he really loved his friend. He cared for him, and he wanted to share Jesus with him. He wanted to take Mr. Pitt to church with him one day. But Mr. Pitt was the Prime Minister of England, so you know, he had duties, he had to meet people, he had to govern, you know, had to do debates, whatever prime ministers do. But Mr. Wilberforce would just continually just hope and pray that his friend, dear friend, William Pitt would come. And so finally, one day comes and Mr. Pitt says, Mr. Wilberforce, I'm ready to go to church. I can go to church with you. My schedule is free. I'm open. Let's go to church together. Wilberforce is so excited, and he's so glad because he knows his preacher, this guy that he goes to, is a great preacher. He preaches the best sermons. You know, it's clear, it makes sense. And that day when he goes to church, oh, the preacher was great. The greatest sermon he'd ever heard. And Mr. Wilberforce was so encouraged and so glad that Mr. Pitt was there to be with him. The church was finished, the service ended, and they walk outside. Wilberforce is just really excited. But his friend, Mr. Pitt, turns and says, you know, William, I didn't get anything out of that at all. I just, you know, everything the preacher said, just, it didn't make sense to me. I don't get it. I don't get it. And still, we can come to church and hear the greatest sermons, hear the nicest songs, but there will be some who say, I don't get it. I mean, it's nice. Don't get me wrong, but Jesus? Resurrected? Rose from the dead? I just can't receive that. And yet, Jesus still asks that question. Do you believe this? Even to those who again and again cannot believe. Why? Why? Why would you ask this question, Jesus? If you know 9 times out of 10, if you ask the person, do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that person will say, no, I don't believe it. Lots of evidence, but there's also lots of evidence against it. You know, there's historical evidence, there's chronological evidence, there's scientific evidence, empirical evidence, but there's also other arguments that rebut all that. You know, this debate goes back. There's excuse and arguments, explanations. But Jesus still asks, why? Why? Well, Yeah, Jesus himself said, you know, there's actually people who could actually see somebody rise from the dead, and still they wouldn't believe. So why ask them? Well, because to give them another chance to say no is to give a person another chance to say yes. I know it's hard to believe when you haven't believed all your life. You know, but this church, it's filled with people. Filled with people who didn't believe for most of their life. Most of your lives, there's some of you here, you didn't believe. For every day that you believed, there were 5 days you didn't believe. For every month that you believed, there are 10 months in your life that you did not believe. For every year that you said, yes, Jesus, I believe, there were years and years where you didn't believe. Why? Because Jesus doesn't care how many times you say no. What's important to him is the one time that you will say, yes, I believe. That's all that matters to him. And yes, you know, when you say, yes, I believe, there are doubts, and there are fears and things that's hard to answer, questions that are hard to answer. And you know, still, even after you say yes, new questions come up. I know I've got plenty of my own. When there's a difficulty or hardship in my life, those doubts and those questions come up, and the same question comes to me. Chris, do you believe? Do you believe? There's a little boy named Nathan. His father is a pilot. He has a pilot's license. And so they asked the boy, Nathan, have you ever flown with your father in his plane? And he said, yeah, flown. So, oh, wow, how was it? And Nathan said, it's kind of boring. Just fell asleep. Why? Because when he would go up in the plane, you know, his dad would be flying, and he knew his daddy was in control of that plane. And maybe there was some turbulence, some turns, some banks, some dips, but it didn't bother him, because he knew his daddy was going to do all that he could to keep him safe. He trusted and he believed in his daddy. Same with us. When there's hardships in our lives, difficulties, problems, questions come up, it goes back to that one question. Do you believe? Do you believe? And the answer yes or no will determine whether you will have peace or you will have difficulty in life. My brother, he's lost in Japan, no contact number, no way to get a hold of him. Do you believe? Yes, I believe. Therefore, whatever happens, God is in control, even if I kill him. I've got the flu. A cough won't go away, but I've got to preach a sermon. Do you believe? Yes. I believe. Therefore, God will take care of his church no matter what. My aunt is going through a very heavy bout with cancer. Do you believe? Yes, I believe. Therefore, I know that whatever the outcome, whatever the result, God is in control. I believe this. My wife's family is not Christian. And there's times when we come up and I don't know what to do. Do you believe? Yes, I believe. Therefore, I know that God will give us all of the wisdom to do the most loving thing in every situation. Because I believe. I believe. And yes, my family's Buddhist, or yes, I'm Japanese, so I can't be a Christian, or yes, there's questions and there's arguments, and yes, I'm not really religious, I don't really believe all that. But still, Jesus asks, do you believe? Because he wants to give you another chance to say, yes, I believe he is the resurrection and the life. There was a missionary to Africa, Kenya, and he was trying to be a witness and give evidence of Christ, love a tribe, special Maasai tribe in Kenya. And he was able, miraculously, to lead some to believe that Jesus is the high God, the resurrection, and the life. But he was having some troubles, some difficulties when he was trying to translate and giving his sermons. He would just try to say something about faith and belief, and it wouldn't work. Nothing would convince the people, the Maasai people. So he was talking to an elder, a very old, wise man, who also believed. And he was talking to him, and the elder said, you know, that word that you use, believe, faith, it's not a very good word. People don't like that word, because the word that you use for belief, faith, it's the same kind of word that's like when a white man is out and he's hunting. The only thing that catches the animal is the bullet in the finger. And that's it. That's the only thing that touches his prey. That's the kind of word believe means in this language. And the Maasai elder was saying, another word you should use is the kind of word that we use with a lion when he is going to attack his prey. The lion, he uses his eyes, his nose, and his ears to sense his prey. When he finds his prey, he crouches low, and he believes that he is invisible. He can't be seen. He's getting as close as he can. And when the time is just right, he uses all of his energy, all of his power, to run and chase after the animal, to grab it with his claws, and he uses his whole body to pull the animal down and absorb the animal into itself. And finally, take that animal into his own. That's the word you should use for believe. And the missionary says, yeah, that's a good word. Maybe I'll use that. Jesus asks, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Not like this, like this. Do you believe? And then the Maasai elder, he wasn't done. That elder, that Maasai tribesman, he was a preacher. And he kept going. He said, you know what? God hunted us. He chased us down. We didn't want you to come to us. In fact, we wanted you to stay away. But God, at the right time, He used all of His efforts, all of His energy, to get us. And in the end, God was the lion who hunted us down for our sake. And today, you have come, you sang, you've listened, but God is hunting you. And He's using all that's in your life to draw you to Him and to give you the chance to, when He asks you, "I am the resurrection, I am the life. If you believe in me, you will live. Even though you die, you will live. Do you believe this?" He's hunted you down to ask you this question, to give you another chance to say yes. Yes, I believe. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? It is Easter. It is your chance to say, "Yes, I believe." That is my prayer, and that is my hope. Let us pray. Matthew, can you? Is Matthew here? No. Okay, sorry. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time and this place that you've brought us to worship, to pray, and to study and hear your word. Lord, it's not us who have come, but you who have drawn us, and I thank you for that. I pray, Lord, for those in here who do believe, who can answer, "Yes, I believe," I pray that you'd help them to say it stronger, say it louder than ever before, not just in their hearts or in their minds, but with their mouths. But I pray also for those who still find it difficult to believe. I pray for them and ask that you would give them faith, Lord, to be able to say, "Yes, I believe." And for this, I will thank you. We will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, shall we rise for our final song together? Monico, could you help us out? Yes. Let's sing "Because He Lives." Sing "Because He Lives."
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds a future, and life is worth living just because
I know. Because I know.
Because I know He holds a future, and life is worth living just because He lives.
Man, let me pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for filling us and filling this place with your Holy Spirit. But Lord, as we go, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that as we are filled, we would have the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of love and joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness and faithfulness, and self-control. And for these good things, we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to see you all here. Please, we've got some leftover Sloppy Joes downstairs. Don't be shy. JR wants to meet you and learn all of your names before he leaves. So Also, please welcome our visitors and our new faces. So, God bless you. Have a good Sunday. He is risen! Amen. Amen.